Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Darryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. WBUR climate and environment correspondent Barbara Moran, you're back.
I am back. Hello.
You are back, and once again, we are talking about PFAS.
Our favorite subject.
Yes, yes, yes. PFAS. The PFAS party continues. But this time, Barb, we're talking about water and PFAS in kind of a good news type of context.
Or big news. Yes.
Big news. Definitely.
Definitely big news this week, yes.
And that news is, for the first time, the United States Environmental Protection Agency announced a new drinking water standard to protect 100 million people from PFAS pollution. Quick reminder, PFAS is a class of chemicals called, here we go, perfluoroalkyl or polyfluoroalkyl substances. But if you want to keep it simple, they're also known as forever chemicals. Exposure to PFAS has been linked to a number of health risks, including cancer. Now, Massachusetts is one of 11 states that set limits on PFAS in 2020, but they are different from the new federal guideline. Barb, we need you to help us understand how. So first, tell us about the new federal rule, and then we'll get into how they differ from Massachusetts.
So the EPA came out with this rule this week, and it sets very low limits for 5 PFAS chemicals.
Okay.
And I'm just going to focus on 2 of those, because otherwise it gets too wackadoodle. And it's only these 2 that are really causing a little complication here in Massachusetts.
Okay.
The 2 most common PFAS chemicals are called PFOA and PFOS.
That's PFOA, that's PFOA, and PFOS, PFOS.
Correct, yeah.
You're not saying PFAS in a fancy way.
No, I'm not. No. Exactly, yeah. So those 2 have been around for the longest time. They're the most prevalent, and they're the most studied, right? Mm-hmm. So we know the most about these 2 chemicals. So the EPA came out with the most stringent limits for these 2, which is 4 parts per trillion, which is less than a drop of water in a swimming pool, mm-hmm. right?
Trace of a trace of a trace.
Exactly. And it's just about at the level that you can detect it,
mm-hmm.
right? They also said the goal should be 0, because from what we know of the health effects of this, the goal, there's no safe amount of these 2 things, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a little different from what the state of Massachusetts has. The state of Massachusetts has a different rule, which is 20 parts per trillion for a combination of 6, okay? So the EPA rule is kind of stricter than Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
There's about 200 water systems in Massachusetts that are going to have to change how they deal with PFAS.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes about 100 that are going to have to deal with PFAS in their drinking water for the first time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that I imagine that's going to require new infrastructure, and that's probably going to be costly.
Yes. Right. So I talked to Jennifer Peterson,
mm-hmm.
who is works for the Mass Water Works Association, which is an industry group, right? She pointed out that Massachusetts already has this huge backlog of water infrastructure stuff that needs to get done before you even talk about PFAS. And that's about like $15 billion worth of stuff that Massachusetts has to do already, right? And then they're piling this onto it. And because I asked her, because like the feds said, oh, well, we're going to pass this rule, but we're going to hand out an extra $1 billion to everybody, and you guys can use some of that. And she's like, just us, we already have $15 billion,
yeah.
right? So here's what she said about the cost yesterday.
We need $15 billion over the next 20 years to maintain compliance with existing standards. So any money that we're getting isn't sufficient to cover what we need.
So I called up Blake Lucas, who runs the Dedham-Westwood Water District, that will now have to manage PFAS for the first time, right?
Okay.
And he said, yeah, this is going to cost a lot of money, but they kind of have seen the writing on the wall, like that they're going to have to deal with this. So they're already starting to put some stuff in place. And it's going to cost them about $20 million. So I said, well, like, how do you feel about these new regs? Like, is it annoying, you know? And he said, surprisingly, he said, no.
Do I think that the water regulation should not be as strict? No, I don't think that. It is something that we've learned is harmful to humans. So my concern is more that I do think that it needs to be regulated across the board.
Barb, right now, I think it's a good time for us to take a break. But when we get back, I want to zero in on the risks associated with PFAS. So we'll be back.
Politics has never been stranger or more online, which is why the politics team at Wired is making a new show, Wired Politics Lab. It's all about how to navigate the endless stream of news and information and what to look out for. Each week on the show, we'll dig into far-right platforms, AI chatbots, influencer campaigns, and so much more. Wired Politics Lab launches Thursday, April 11th. Follow the show wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back with WBUR climate and environment correspondent Barbara Moran. So, Barb, we're talking about PFAS and the new federal rule that sets a limit on the amount of PFAS that could be in drinking water. Can you tell us more about the dangers that PFAS poses to our bodies?
Yeah, so PFAS is kind of weird in that it has all these effects on all different organs in our bodies, right? Which is kind of weird. Usually a toxin affects like one thing or another. But the things that it's been mostly associated with are kidney cancer, testicular cancer, high cholesterol, which sounds like, who cares? But, you know, you could have a heart attack, right?
Yeah.
And lessened immune response. So you are less likely to respond well to vaccines because of this.
And just how prevalent are these ailments because of PFAS?
That's hard to say because there's been, you know, a number of studies in individual places where there's a known high exposure, right? And so I've been able to sort of link these certain populations with diseases. But as far as like you going into the doctor, like Daryl, you go to the doctor and like, he's like, you got high cholesterol. They're probably not going to link it to PFAS, right?
It's thinking like about bacon.
Right. Exactly. They're going to be like, cut down your bacon, not cut down your use of
tap
nonstick.
Water.
Yeah. Nonstick cookware. Right. And so there is guidance out there for sort of primary care physicians, but it hasn't quite trickled down to them yet. And part of the reason for that is it's hard for people to lower their exposure. I mean, there are some things you can do, right? You can sort of avoid, you know, heating things in plastic. You can avoid, you know, using the stain guard on your carpets. You can avoid raincoats that have PFAS in them. You know, we have a whole list of tips online.
I wore a raincoat today.
You can wear raincoats. You can wear raincoats. You know, so there's a lot of things you can do, but there's no way to get it out of your body, you know, and it is hard to avoid the prevalence of it in the world. So I think as we go forward, you're going to see this getting on more sort of primary care physicians' radars and, you know, more blood tests being available for PFAS.
All right. I feel like I have to ask this as well.
Ooh,
is this EPA is under the Biden administration.
Mm-hmm.
It's an election year. Joe Biden is running. Do you see this being something that voters are thinking about leading up to the presidential election?
I would definitely think that this is a strategic Biden thing to release this around election time, right? And I had heard actually he was going to do it on Earth Day as like an Earth Day gift, you know, but didn't. So maybe there's something else
yes,
coming
it
for
is
Earth Day.
Earth Month. Look at that.
Yeah. It's funny you say that because a couple of people have said to me off the record that all of this money that the Biden administration is going to put out to help with this is all going to go to red states for him to get votes. So I don't know if that's true or not, but I think people are definitely seeing, you know, political movement within this.
Yeah. And this is in connection with that bipartisan infrastructure bill law
correct.
That was passed a few years ago.
That's correct. Yes. Yeah, there is a bunch of money in the infrastructure bill to deal with, you know, emerging contaminants, which is PFAS, and water projects in general. And then the administration said yesterday they're going to put an extra $1 billion on that just for PFAS.
All right. So I want to bring it back to the federal rule in Massachusetts real quick. Mm-hmm. When will that go into effect?
All the water systems in Massachusetts are already testing for PFAS, right? And a lot of them are already filtering PFAS out. So there's a number of waterworks, you know, maybe like 100 of them that will have to put in new filters. And you'll be seeing that over the next couple of years. Nothing has to happen for 5 years. But I think most of the water systems are thinking, you know, we want a piece of this infrastructure money if we can get it.
And it's $1 billion coming to the entire state?
No. $1 billion to the entire country.
Oof.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. But there's also a bill in the state legislature in Massachusetts moving through that would create a fund for PFAS remediation. Some form of that will probably pass in a year or two.
Okay.
And it's unclear where the how much money might be in this fund and where it would come from. There's a couple lawsuits that Massachusetts has sued some of the manufacturers of firefighting foam. And so we might get some settlement money from that, and okay, that could help.
That could. Okay. What does this mean for the residents?
Yeah. So people's water bills are probably going to go up.
Mm.
Yeah. Nobody likes bills going up.
Nope.
No. Right. I don't like bills going up. Right.
Nope.
But, you know, it costs a lot of money to put in these filters and to change out the stuff inside the filters. So I think, you know, most people in the state should be bracing for higher water bills over the next couple of years.
I'd rather drink clean water.
I'd rather drink clean water. Yes. See, we all like the eclipse. We all want clean drinking water.
Boom. And on that note... Barb, thank you so much as always. This has been fun, informative. We truly, truly appreciate it. Thank you for taking some time to come back to the Common.
No problem. Thank you for being interested.
That's WBUR climate and environment correspondent Barbara Moran. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. If you like what you're hearing, please go to wherever you're listening to podcasts, especially Apple or Spotify. Rate and review us. Let us know how you're liking the show. Thank you to everybody who already has. And now it is that time for me to let you know that The Common is produced by Caitlin Harrop and Franny Monahan with help from CCU. It's mixed by Emily Jankowski, Matt Reed, and Paul Vitkus. And it's edited by Samantha Joshi and Ben Brock Johnson. And our theme music is Me from Hisu. And from the newsroom of WBUR, I'm your host, Daryl C. Murphy. I'll talk to you soon.